if he can't state it, if he's so beat up and so broken that he can't see his way out, yeah, like you said, a brother in Christ reaches down and reminds him, just like the Holy Spirit reminds us.
Welcome to Season 3 of the Gospel Coach Podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in the ongoing ministry of the gospel through coaching other leaders by examples of our learned experiences, as well as inviting different guest coaches to share what they are utilizing and multiplying the gospel among the nations. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., alongside the pioneer of gospel coaching and founder and president of CMM, Dr. Tom Wood. Tom began gospel coaching, creating the Cross Conversation model over 15 years ago, and began training other gospel coaches in the USA in 2009.
So good to be able to be with you and to share with our team of global coaches here at CMM USA headquarters. We have 12 professional coaches. We have on our team is Olivia Jackson. She's the director of women coaching. Olivia's doing a great job for us in women coaching. You can contact us about that whole avenue. And the Lord has added a new space for gospel coaching in the chaplaincy corps. Military, first responders, and corporate chaplains. That's just getting underway, but already gaining great traction. We have Dr. Don Sampson. He's taken a new role with us as the director of chaplaincy coaching, and has introduced gospel coaching in that space, and it is expanding and doing quite well.
And don't forget, we now have expanded our coaching and training into the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, and Wales, and next up, Ireland, with Matt Waldock in Manchester, England, coming on our staff team here recently to handle the 70-plus men and women who have now gone through Gospel Coach Foundations. And all that, of course, is in addition to our coaching in the church world with planters, pastors, associational leaders, and movement leaders in cities, towns, college towns, and cross-culturally in the USA.
One last thought for those of our listeners who are gospel coaching. If you've never been coached, we encourage you to get one, even if it's for a short season.
Be sure to listen to the amazing conversations and helpful reminders in our first two seasons. We continue with important topics from your ministry of coaching and to cross-pollinate ideas and insights in gospel coaching practices from other regions. Please contact us at gospelcoachingnetwork@gmail.com with questions or comments. All right, Tom, what's the next topic we're tackling?
Hi, Jim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well.
Glad we could. Glad we can continue to do this.
Yeah.
I think we're getting some good feedback, and hope this is being an encouragement in these podcasts to equip and encourage those of you who've gone through some level of foundations training in gospel coaching. We're talking to you as gospel coaches. And today, we're going to continue. It's something that we talked about the last time we've been together. And also, if you want to go back to season one, I think it's episode 8, where we talked about adaptive coaching. And today, we want to talk about another quadrant, and compare or contrast how gospel coaches diagnose and adapt to the situation.
Yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to this. But, you know, if somebody's just joining us on this episode, they're going to need to know where we are in the overview of adaptive coaching. So you want to give us a quick overview before we get to the case study that we've got?
Yeah, sure. But let me back up just give me 1 minute or so, maybe two. I don't know. You know, preachers say 1 minute. But the first big idea is that I want to remind all of us in gospel coaches that we're not advocates of the contemporary school that coaching is only about asking questions. And what I mean by that is in the whole contemporary movement, coaching is non-directive. That's in their definition of what coaching is. It's non-directive. And they built an industry around that theory and that practice. And they stated that coaching is non-directive and mentoring is directive. I was listening, doing some study on this not too long ago. And I was listening to a well-known teacher, advocate, coaching guru. And he said, here's the difference between the two, because people are asked, what's the difference between mentoring and coaching? When you're mentoring somebody, the person doesn't know how to do something, or they don't have the skills, or they don't have the experiences. And you as the mentor, you're giving them the knowledge that they need. You are pouring into them the skills or the know-how. and sharing with them your experiences. So they don't know what to do. And as a mentor, you're pouring into them, giving them the education or the know-how of what they do. But coaching is client-centered. The client has the answers and the knowledge in them already. And so as a coach, all you're to do is to mirror back to them, draw out of them the solution that they have within themselves. And you do that only by asking questions and then allowing them time for personal reflection. That was his point. Now, I have a logic-based question for you in the audience, but I'm going to let Jim tackle it because he's here in the studio with me.
Yeah.
Reason so, with us.
Yeah.
What's the problem with that, Jim?
Together. Yeah, there's a little problem because a mentor presumes he doesn't know anything. And then this contemporary school of coaching says he has the answer within him. So which is it? And does he know or does he not know if it's the same person? Yeah, it's curious.
Yeah, it is curious. So if Jim, you know, you're with your mentor and you don't know squat, you know, but when you're with your coach, you know. Yeah, it's illogical. Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Come let us reason together. So you got it. And it can't be both. And so we're advocates in gospel coaching that we don't have all the answers within us. And that the problems that we're facing that are, they're not just out there. There are problems that we face that are out there. You have questions, you have issues you've got to deal with that are issues you've got to deal outside of yourself. But the solution is not in and of yourself to that problem.
Yeah.
And a good coach, what we're advocating is, yes, sometimes they do have the answer within them, but a good coach helps the coachee give them the margin in life to figure out by asking good questions. Yes, that does happen. But a good coach, a gospel-centered coach, a mature coach has to use this adaptive model if they're going to help their client, help their coachee in the presenting issue in which they find them, where they find them in their own growth.
Yeah, that's why in the training, we're such an advocate of asking questions and like forcing you, if you've been through the foundations training, you've had that awkward exercise where you're only allowed certain questions. Because we know we haven't been trained well to listen as pastors. We've been trained to talk. So we need to learn how to do active listening and empathetic listening and develop that skill and then ask lots of questions. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't really like that, do they, Jim, in the,
no.
the training?
I didn't like it the first time I had to do it.
Yeah. It's a real struggle, which just kind of proves the case that we don't really know how to ask good questions, you know?
Yeah.
We are by nature, especially if you've been a pastor or some kind of a leader, a teacher or whatever, we are by nature tellers, and we do want to give people instruction, you know, tell. So,
yeah.
But skilled gospel coaches. So here's our thing: when you get skilled at this, you're practicing this adaptive coaching skill. The writer of the Hebrews said, he said, "Let us consider." That means, the word there means to put your whole mind onto something. In other words, you're observing attentively. You're to think carefully so as to give a proper, decisive answer to somebody. He says, let us consider how to spur them on to love and to good deeds. And it's an active, it's a present active. We're to continuously consider how we motivate them, how to consider, to spur them on, to sharpen them, to stimulate them, to incite them. That's what that word means. And this is really a key idea for us in adaptive coaching. We've got to observe them to see what do they need in order to spur them on at the moment. So I think it's a lack of wisdom on a coach's part to exasperate or frustrate a coachee with forcing them to come up with the knowledge of something that they don't actually have the knowledge of. You know, they just don't know the answer. And if you keep asking them questions and trying for them to come up with the answer, they don't even have the base of the knowledge of what to do.
Yeah.
And that's exasperating. I think you had an experience that one time, right? Before the gospel coach you had a coach that was.
Yeah, I was, you know, it was before you had written the book. I hope that I haven't exasperated people too much, but the key to it is having this adaptive coaching grid in your mind. And, you know, for people who are joining us for the first time, let me just explain the chart or the grid. Because, you know, a big part of what we do as gospel coaches is we're diagnosing, is this a skill, skill, knowledge, motivation, or enemy? And so it's not just which one, but which one's in combination with the other. So imagine four quadrants, and it's a big rectangle or a big square. And on the left-hand side of that square, that axis is going from 0 to 10 on skill and knowledge on that vertical axis. And then motivation is on the horizontal axis. Motivation is on the horizontal axis going from 0 to 10. So you end up with four different quadrants where the starting in the bottom left and making a reverse C, numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4, where the first quadrant is low skill and knowledge and low motivation, and maybe even an enemy attack. The second box is low skill and knowledge, but highly motivated. And then the one above that, box number 3, is high skill and knowledge and high motivational level. And then the one that's left, number 4, is highly skilled and knowledgeable, but having a low motivation and maybe some pretty significant attack. And so each of those requires a different approach as a coach, hence the term adaptation, right? We're adapting our coaching. And in previous episodes, we've talked about quadrant 1 and quadrant 3, the low and the high. And today we're going to tackle some more of the other quadrants.
So I want to, let's talk today about the person who's high in skills and the know-how, but low in motivation. And what does that coachee need from the coach?
Yeah. That's quadrant 4, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
If you're looking at these four quadrants, you're in the top left-hand quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah. Highly skilled.
Highly skilled.
Yeah.
Good skills.
They
and when we say high, it doesn't mean that the person's necessarily, you know, there's above the midline, right? So it's, you said zero, from 0 to 10. So, you know, from 6 onward, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in that quadrant, they have a skill sets. You know, they're not just starting out, right? They've got experience. Some may be a 10, some may be a 7, some may be an 8.
Yeah, they generally know what to do, but their motivation's really lagging and they're going to need encouragement. It's the art as a coach of putting courage back into them, you know, encourage.
Right.
So now we've got a different case study. And let me set this one up for you, Dr. Tom, before we get to your diagnosis. So here's the case study. Peter's pastored a church for 7 years. He's been a faithful pastor in his previous church, and it had gone well. The first 5 years at this current church went well too, and there was new growth, conversions, led some mission trips. But the last 2 years, things have turned. People have begun to leave, some have drifted away. COVID happened, and in the last year now, post-COVID, there's anger, general unhappiness, things have been very painful, and he's worn out. He's thinking about leaving the church, not just this church, but thinking about leaving the pastorate altogether. So what's your diagnosis, Dr. Tom?
Wow, Jim, and you and I've been at this together for a long time, and this is not an exception.
Sadly, no, especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a thing. We had a thing that we did several years ago called the next 5 to 7 for church planters who had, you know, gone, they get into that fifth, sixth, seventh year, and then They don't know what to do. Things turn south. They haven't achieved the vision that they started out with, and they're thinking about leaving. And now what's happened, which you just commented here, is that they're not just thinking about moving on to another church, but a lot of them are thinking about just leaving the ministry altogether. I think we might have even noted, you know, the survey that was done, the Barna research, you know, that this is a crisis in the church. But so this brings up a different aspect, really, in adaptive coaching. Because you do, as you said, Peter here is this kind of guy who he has skills, he has experience. He's not new to the church. He's not new to the pastorate. He's had successes, you know, in the sense of, you know, he's led another congregation. They've seen conversion growth, mission. You know, he's experienced in preaching. You know, I'm sure he's done weddings. You know, he's not a newbie coming out of seminary. But he's lost heart. And as you said, so the aim of the coach here is to encourage that pastor, as you said. And that will mean a lot of questions about his core identity. I think gospel realities, hidden idolatries. We would insert what? What are we talking about here when we talk about, you know, his gospel realities, hidden idolatries? What are we inserting there?
For those of you that have been through the training, you recall Gospel 3D. And looking for those tells, for those things that are happening underneath. And, you know, if you have trust with him, asking him, you know, what's at play here? Aside from the difficulty on the external, what's at play in your heart? And ultimately, through a series of questions, asking, ultimately, what is it that you're worshiping that's beating you up? What idol even is operating in your heart? And then, of course, not stopping there and going on to the delight and the direction of the gospel is really actually that's the essence of gospel coaching. And it's, you know, it's not, and again, it's not just gospel, right? It's gospel coaching. So then what do you do, Tom, when you've got this guy who's, let's presume that Peter he's been successful, and we always assume that if you're successful, I'm sorry, that if you're highly skilled, you're going to be successful, but he's struggling. He's not being successful. We take him to the gospel and he begins to repent in his heart. But what does that new direction look like? What do we as coaches, what should we as coaches do to help them in the missional aspect of their life where they're being challenged?
I don't want to lose sight before you get to the mission, which is part of the direction, right? They can't lose sight of the calling on their life to evangelize and disciple people and to make disciples of among the nations. So even if you're licking your wounds, you know, there's a certain degree in which, you know, a healthy leader can live coherently under stress and still do the right things and still live according to the gospel realities that are in his life. But, you know, going back to the Hebrews passage, you know, is we have to put our mind to this, and we have to observe and to think carefully, is again what that word meant, you know, to give a proper and decisive answer to the person and to spur them on to love and good deeds. That requires more than me just asking questions and putting courage back into them. Sometimes is me as a coach preaching the gospel back to them, you know, themselves. They need to hear it.
Yeah, it's like they've forgotten.
The declarations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the battle and the war has got hold of them. And so I do think we do have to review their personal and missional vision. There's no question about it. So I'm not leaving the heart thing. I want you to know that is the heart of I think gospel coaching is, again, helping them with their core identity. They're, you know, their people are criticizing their preaching. There is no preaching justification. There's no salvation in preaching. So their identity is not as a preacher. So you've got to help them, remind them of their identity in Christ and who they are in Christ and all those things that we write about. I write about in Vital Grace and those things. But we do have to keep them on task with their missional vision and who and what are they aiming for in life. We want to ask loads of questions. I think one of the dynamics as a coaching somebody who's in this quadrant is, do they even have the right objectives now? Have they built a good leadership team? Who are they pouring into? You know, kind of go back to the basics of ministry. You know, it's really about disciple making and leadership development. When I say disciple making, you and I both, you know, agree it's evangelism is the making of disciples includes evangelism, reaching lost people and then discipling them up in the faith. But your leadership development, like who are you shepherding, pouring yourself into and developing?
That's good.
And I mean, this is putting courage back into a guy who's lost heart.
Yeah, and that's thinking of people that I've coached, they're coming to mind as we're just describing this, and my heart really breaks for them because it is so hard. So discouraged and the enemy is
just pounding away
and your internal dialogue is your flesh, you know, is just participating in that, and you feel this enslavement to expectations of success that are just false idols in there. But you know, I want to go back to something you said, cause I think it bears repeating. You emphasize that we ask about heart issues. We ask about idolatry. But then when we get to the gospel, you have to proclaim the gospel. And going back to your earlier comments about the role of a gospel coach, if a guy is so beaten down and he can't verbalize the gospel, as a gospel coach, you would be a rotten brother if you didn't proclaim the gospel back to him.
Yeah.
And in a only ask questions methodology, that'd be really sad to say, well, I see where you are.
Does.
That's not what a brother does. No,
that's not what a brother does.
Yeah. But, you know, again, getting back up, this all fits together into that new direction part of 3D.
Absolutely. That is the gospel.
That is part of the gospel, asking about his calling and his vision and his mission and new approaches and even maybe even new ways to battle your own flesh, you know, not to start a whole other topic, but how to battle the enemy. I think that's all part of it. Yeah,
absolutely. And again, this is part of this is the topic of adaptive coaching. And I think that what we're saying here is that you as a gospel coach, you have the freedom. No, you have the responsibility that when you're coaching somebody in this quadrant, you better give them some good news.
Yeah.
You can ask him questions to remind him about, now, who are you in Christ? Tell me who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he states it, restate it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't state it, if he's so beat up and so broken that he can't see his way out, yeah, like you said, a brother in Christ reaches down and reminds him.
That's right.
Just like the Holy Spirit reminds us.
That's right. I mean, we've both been there.
Yeah.
You need somebody to come along, and it's, what is it, Galatians 6, that image of putting your arm under someone else, putting your shoulder under someone else's arm and carrying them along for a while. Like that's what we're doing as gospel coaches.
Or think about Moses, you know, when they were attacking the Amalekites, you know, and he was praying, you know, and he was doing a spiritual exercise, but he needed, and it wasn't that he didn't want to pray. He couldn't literally hold his hands up anymore. Yeah. Right.
His arms
every time
were
they fell because he just couldn't do it. You know, he had two brothers that held his arms up, you know? So that's in that sense. And let me just add one more thing. I don't know if we have enough time, but I say this carefully, and I don't have time maybe to defend it. And maybe you can, maybe we can pick up on it again, maybe the next
session, our next topic.
Talk or something like that. Or you can do, but I want to encourage you as coaches, you need to remind these guys, you cannot, as partners as you are in life with your spouse, your wife cannot be your source of strength. You cannot rely on her to be the one that has to hold you up under tough times. Mm-hmm. You need a brother. You need another man. You need a community. And you know what? This is one of those soft skills that they don't teach. They can't teach in seminary. You can't learn this in seminary. This is where most men fail, or a lot of men fail. They lose heart. They lose heart. And then they quit.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's good.
That's a soft skill that you just can't teach, but it's a soft skill that you need community for. And if you have no other community, at least you as a gospel coach, you may be the only community that man has. And so be that man to him. Anyway, thanks, Jim. Appreciate your insights. We'll pick up maybe some of this in our next session together.
Yeah. That's all. Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.